matters to painters, musicians, and photographers. But what does it have to do with investing? Hi, I'm Rob West. The Creation Account suggests that beauty lies at the core of faithful stewardship and investing as well. I'll talk about investing in beautiful today with Jason Meyer of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. Then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, joining us again today is my friend Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. The Eventide Center is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management and an underwriter of this program. Jason, always a delight to have you with us.
Hey, Rob. Good to be with you again.
Investing, Jason, is a word we tend to associate, of course, with money, retirement, risk, and return, but rarely, perhaps if ever, do we think the words investing and beauty. So, Jason, why should we connect beauty with our approach to investing?
Yeah, this is one of my favorite topics. So, you know, just to start, we, of course, all experience beauty, and beauty is something that we all need as human beings. You know, this morning I watched a beautiful sunrise on a clear day. I enjoyed a pour over coffee from a specialty coffee roaster that was delicious. This weekend I watched a masterpiece movie from a Japanese filmmaker I like. And we all have these experiences, right, in our lives. We often, though, think about these beauty experiences as taking place during our leisure time.
Yes.
And so we tend to pair beauty with really rest and Sabbath. And so, you know, we for example, take time to go to an orchestra performance, or on the weekend we hike the mountains or stroll along the beach. We might buy a bouquet of flowers to adorn our home. Mm. Rarely do we think about beauty in association with ordinary human work and therefore with things like business and investing. But yeah, Beauty matters for our work. In fact, it's essential for our work. And I want to help make the case that it matters also for our finances and things like investing. Beauty is an essential characteristic of God's creation, and that makes it central to our work as stewards over God's good creation.
Well, I love this idea. Let's talk about the place of beauty in creation, perhaps as a starting point. Jason, where do we see beauty in the Genesis account of creation, and how is beauty connected with work in creation?
Right. So it's helpful to start first with God's work in creation and the connection of beauty there. So
okay,
this is something we're very familiar with as Bible readers, and we just take it for granted that God is actually portrayed as a worker. He creates everything that exists. He creates, it says, the heavens and the earth, which is a way of saying everything. And everything that God makes is good. And this is something that the Genesis 1 account really wants us to see. It says seven times in Genesis chapter 1 that creation is good. And the last instance of that, it says that the whole creation is very good. And in the Hebrew derivation, the word good is a word pronounced tob, and it's translated as good in our English Bibles. It's a word that's actually very rich with meaning. So it means, of course, moral perfection. So it's good in a moral sense. Creation is morally perfect. There's no evil. It's good in a functional sense. So creation is functionally excellent. It's useful for sustaining life in God's creatures. But one of the things we miss is that it's also good in a sense that it is surpassingly beautiful. When God creates, he looks at his creation. And it says he sees it and declares it good. He appraises it as good. It's very much like, you know, this springtime, we're out cutting the grass. And when we get done cutting the grass, we don't immediately go inside. We look it back over what we just accomplished.
Yes.
And we feel that it's good. We see it as beautiful. And that's the idea. It's this aesthetic, evaluative, pleasurable kind of experience that God had. And so one scholar actually says that a better translation of that word good would be actually a compound word, beauty good. Mm. So God is portrayed as a wise artisan, artfully crafting the world. And in fact, Eden means delight. So the Garden of Eden was a place of delight.
I love that. Beauty in the creation. But how about beauty in our work? And what about in business and investing? We'll talk about that with Jason Meyer from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing just around the corner. Stick around.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. If you look around your church every Sunday morning, you're bound to see people who are hurting. Chances are you know someone who's lost a loved one recently. Is there anything that you can say to comfort that brother or sister in Christ? Sometimes it's enough simply to be present. But at times, the right scripture passage can bring hope to the grieving. Listen to Isaiah 25:8. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. Isaiah tells us that death does not have the last say. The Lord will defeat death and he will wipe every tear from those who are grieving. This is comfort for the brokenhearted. Get more daily encouragement with Anchor Devotional. Just visit getanchor.com.
Frustrated by your health insurance? Confused by the network restrictions and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high cost of healthcare. Take back control of your healthcare with the ability to choose a provider you trust with no network restrictions and savings of up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Every weekday, strengthen your family and your faith with Family Talk.
I had the same brain when I was at the bottom of the class that I had at the top of the class. Exactly the same brain, but a different attitude. What does that tell us about our responsibility to develop the intellect of the people and our spheres of influence?
Don't miss Family Talk with Dr. James Dobson every weekday at 6:30 a.m. and 9:30 p.m. Central on AFR.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's cards that give to missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
Do you feel like your hands are tied with debt, preventing you from serving God? If you have credit card debt, Christian credit counselors can help. Through our debt management program, we can get you out of credit card debt about 80% faster while honoring your debt in full. For more information on how Christian credit counselors can help, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985. 800-557-1985.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, Jason Meyer, Executive Director of the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing, an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management and an underwriter of this program. Today, we're talking about beauty in God's work, beauty in our work, but also beauty found in business and investing. And Jason, just before the break, you were talking about beauty as an essential aspect of God's work. But what about our work that he ordained us and created us to do? Where do we see beauty connected to our work in the creation account?
Right. So we just got done talking about God's work and how beauty was an aspect of God's work. So God creates, he looks at the things he made, he sees that they're good and declares them to be good. It is actually into this context that God places humanity and then gives us our role to play, which is this gift of work that he gives us. Now, as we think about the beauty and majesty of God's creation, you know, we think, who could add anything to it? And the Bible here is very surprising because it says that we are capable of adding to this beauty and goodness to the world through our work. The place that we see this is in Genesis 2:15. So God places humanity right there in that garden of delight, Garden of Eden, and gives us the gift of work. It says, then the Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and to keep it. Essentially, God placed humanity in this very good creation. And then the thrust of these instructions is that he's telling them to make it even better through the things that we make and that we add to the world.
Yeah, which raises the question, if God's creation was already very good, essentially perfect, then how can we improve on it?
Yeah, this is one of, I would say this is just a really great insight that has come to me through books over the years, is that God's creation was absolutely perfect, but it's perfect in a very particular way, okay? So it's perfect, as I'll explain, it's filled with potential, okay? Let me explain. So we know that God made the world beautiful and good, as we've been discussing. Part of that beauty we can see with our own eyes. It's manifest in the world that God made, and it's kind of the raw materials of creation. We can see it. And part of the beauty and goodness of God's creation is hidden within creation as a yet undiscovered potential that it has, and that we are to uncover this potential through our work. Hmm. So the early church father, St. Augustine, described this potential as seeds. So creation has potential like seeds have potential. And it's the task of us, God's image bearers, to find this potential and through work to develop it and to bring it forth into new kinds of beauty and goodness that has been lying hidden within God's creation. So let me give you some examples just to illustrate this.
Okay.
A couple of easy ones. So bread and wine. God creates grain, and grain has always had the potential to become bread since the day that he made the wheat. God placed that potential there so that we would discover it and make it manifest through our work. Hmm. Or grapes have always had the potential to become wine through our work. These are just easy examples of the way in which we have created new things, new good things out of God's good creation. Let me give you now maybe a sophisticated example, one that is relevant in the world of business and investing today. So take semiconductors that power all of our smart devices and computers and cars and you name it.
Yeah.
The fundamental material used to create semiconductors is sand.
Hmm.
And as my colleague Christian Say, who covers semiconductors in his work at Eventide Asset Management, he puts it this way. He said, with semiconductors, what we're doing essentially is we're taking sand and we're teaching it how to think.
Wow.
We're taking sand and teaching it how to think.
Yeah.
Sand has always had the potential to become semiconductors, even back in that ancient Garden of Eden, because God planted it there as a potential, as a seed in his beautiful and good creation for us to discover and to develop so that the world would be made even more delightful for us.
Yeah,
and so that all the glory of creation would be revealed, like all that hidden potential would be brought forward, and that God's reputation as the creator would be made even more famous and glorious.
Yes.
Let me give you one little final analogy to help solidify this in our minds. I love this analogy. It comes from one of my favorite theologians, Craig Bartholomew. He says, imagine that you are a sculptor. So Rob West, the sculptor.
Yeah.
And Michelangelo says to you, the great sculptor, he says, look, he gives you a phone call and he says, look, I've just started work on this new sculpture, this major, major sculpture, but I want you to come and finish it for me. I want you to come and to complete the sculpture and to develop the potentials I've built into it so far so that when it's done, this sculpture will enhance my reputation in the art world. Bartholomew says, that illustration is an illustration of what God intended with work in Genesis 1 and 2.
Wow, that is powerful. What an analogy. And I'd love for you, though, Jason, to help us translate this biblical picture of work that you just articulated so well to the modern world now of business and investing. What does that look like?
Yeah. You know, if we are to be Christians who have a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, then that means that we need to see the worlds of business and investing with Christian eyes. We actually need to view them in light of this biblical vision for work. This is the true story of work, the biblical story. So the Genesis instructions to develop the beauty and goodness of creation are the very same instructions that we have for work for humanity today. this is still God's design. This is still his desire for our work in business and investing, even though very far removed from that Genesis garden picture. And so we must ask ourselves, how can the specific work of business and investing contribute beauty and goodness to creation? And I want to suggest a couple answers to that. So business is called to create products that are good. You know, we have this language for products in business. We call them goods and services.
Yeah.
And I think that's no accident. The products of business in God's design are intended to be genuinely good, right? The products of business in God's design are intended to genuinely be a service to humankind. So humanity through business is to create goods that are truly good and services that truly serve. So that's what I would say about business. And what about investors? How does investing enhance the beauty and goodness of God's world? So investors are called to supply the capital that enables and enlarges this good work of business to create those goods and services. So when we're contemplating investing, we need to think about these things and ask, is this prospective investment that I'm thinking about making, is it going to be in companies that are creating goods and services? These are things we should embrace. And we should be asking, in a fallen world, are there any companies that actually are diminishing God's good creation that I should seek to avoid investing in? These are things I think we should avoid.
Yeah, and the exciting thing is there's a whole industry of Christian faith-based investments that have been raised up to make it easier for us to either avoid companies whose products run counter to this biblical vision, or avoid while also targeting the good, looking for companies who meet human needs and enhance the world. So, Jason, how can our listeners get more information about faith-based investments?
Yeah, we've put together two resources for you today. The first is an article on beauty and investing, like we've been talking about. The second is a list of faith-based investments that are out there. And to get that, you can go to faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. That's faithandinvesting.com/faithfi, F-I.
This has been incredibly enlightening, Jason. Thanks for stopping by.
My pleasure, Rob. See ya.
All right, check it out today, faithandinvesting.com/faithfi. We'll be right back. Stick around.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
FaithFi is grateful for support from OneAscent. OneAscent believes that your values inspire why you invest and how they can inspire how you invest. OneAscent's goal is to provide solutions designed for every need and invest in businesses that bless the people and places God has made. They want to help investors do well by doing good, to explore a new way of investing that aligns with your values. More information is available at OneAscent.com and by clicking Analyze My Investments.
What we believe about the Bible is based on what we believe about its source.
The God Who Speaks, the award-winning documentary from the American Family Association, is now available in a special limited edition DVD set. This release includes a Sunday school curriculum and 2 hours of additional footage. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to get your copy today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
A few of the benefits of a charitable gift annuity are a fixed percentage for the rest of your life paid to you, a partial tax deduction, as well as partial tax-free income, and then upon your passing, any remaining funds are then gifted to the American Family Association. So give us a call today at 1-800-326-4543, extension 345. We look forward to speaking with you soon.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
We're so glad you're along with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Our goal, our hope and prayer for you is that you would see God as your ultimate treasure as we explore God's word as it relates to money decisions. Let's go to Chicago. Hi, Linda. Go right ahead.
Hi, Rob. I enjoyed the program.
Well, I'm so glad. How can I help you today?
Yes, I'm calling about your views. What's your opinion on long-term care insurance versus long-term care annuity? And the reason why I'm asking, because I've been looking into long-term care insurance for a while. I'm 66 years old, and it's my opinion that it's very expensive. And I've been told if you don't think you'll be able to pay it on a long-term basis, it's no sense of starting it if you can't pay it because you lose the money. So I've looked into annuities also, so I want to know, what is your opinion on long-term care annuity versus long-term care insurance?
Yeah, it's a great question. I would agree with your latter point there about long-term care insurance. It has become very expensive. And if you're stretching to afford it today, you're likely not going to be able to afford it in the future, because we've seen some pretty rapid increases and in some cases significant. Even though they can't happen on an individual basis, it has to happen in the aggregate based on all the policies in a particular state. Because healthcare costs have been going up so dramatically, the premiums on these long-term care insurance policies have been going up. And if at some point down the road you can no longer afford it, because the premiums have increased too dramatically, then you're right. It's of no value to you, and so you lose it. Now, at that point, there are some options. Typically, you might take a reduction in benefits. Maybe you extend the waiting period. So if it, you know, were kicked in after 60 days, maybe now it's 180 days. And if you're getting X dollars a day, maybe you drop that and it provides a lower benefit. And so even if it doesn't cover everything, you know, you get some offset of the cost. Now, a long-term care annuity is a special type of annuity designed to help people pay for the costs associated with long-term care. And so people typically buy them to protect their retirement savings. Since, you know, to your point, long-term care can be costly, and they work in various ways, but most commonly the insurer pays a fixed amount to you each month. The amount that you're paid each month, though, is based on how much you paid into the annuity. So this means, depending on how much care you require, your long-term care annuity may not be able to cover the full amount of your care. And so I think, you know, that's just what you have to understand. You know, the drawbacks to the annuity are they typically require a large upfront payment that people can't afford. Now, the annuity payments are considered taxable income if they aren't used to pay for costs associated with long-term care. But they are both a great way, if you can afford them, to help finance the cost of long-term care. And, you know, 70% of Americans 65 and older will need some form of long-term care for some period of time. Another option would be look at the short-term care, because what we find is that most folks, when they need that type of assistance because they can't perform, you know, the certain number of daily activities of daily living, their need for that type of skilled care doesn't last very long. And so that can kind of cover the early days of, you know, what is needed. And, you know, that may be enough. So, yes, I like annuities, but typically, you know, because they require that upfront payment, usually that's the, you know, the drawback for most people. Does that make sense though?
It does. And when you say, what's average, when you say upfront payment, what's average? Do you know what an average is for my area?
Illinois? It really just depends on how much coverage, you know, you're looking for. you know, when you start need to start to collect. What do you have in the way of retirement assets today?
Okay, I have a total, maybe let's say $500,000.
Okay, yeah. You know, so you're certainly in the ballpark there of, you know, where somebody would benefit from long-term care insurance, because I generally say if you have assets between, you know, 200,000 and 2 million, you know, that's probably where you want it, because you could run through that and spend it, you know, down or away completely. But you don't quite have enough to self-insure, just given, you know, how much it could end up costing you. Here's what I would do. Do you have an advisor who could kind of help you work through this and do some planning for you?
Yes, I do. Yes, I did. I met with my advisor last week, but I wanted to have another opinion also. I'm meeting with him today.
Okay, good. Well, I would look at that. The other option is, you know, you can get life insurance with a long-term care rider. And so that way your premiums aren't wasted if you ever need long-term care. So that would be another option to ask him about, which is what's called a hybrid policy. And the rates are guaranteed to remain the same, unlike the traditional long-term care insurance policies. So I might ask him to show you a long-term care insurance policy illustration, a long-term care annuity, and ask him how much you'd have to put in on the front end. And then the third option would be a hybrid policy, a long-term or a life insurance policy with a long-term care rider. A fourth option could be a reverse mortgage, which if you own your home and you needed, you know, care and you were going to hang on to the home, in particular, if you needed in-home care, you could get a reverse mortgage and, you know, pull the equity out of the house to fund it. I mean, as kind of a last resort. So I think there are options. The key is just based on your situation, Linda, kind of working through each of these with your advisor. But I'm not opposed to the annuity, if the long-term care annuity, for the reasons you mentioned, if you can make the numbers work. Hey, thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. May the Lord bless you. Well, folks, we're just halfway through the program. We've got a lot more to cover. We'll head to St. Louis after this break and then Chattanooga. I know there's a lot of lines holding as well. So stay right there. I'll try to move a little quicker when we get back and see if I can get to as many questions as we certainly can. You know, folks, as we think about managing God's money, the big idea first, lordship. God owns it all. The second, stewardship. We're managers of God's resources. I think close behind that is the idea of generosity. We're to give generously. It breaks the grip of money over our lives. Perhaps following that, contentment. We're to recognize that we're to live within God's provision. Some big ideas as it comes to God's way of managing money. Stay with us. 19. That's how many pairs of shoes the average American has in their closet. 1. That's how many pairs of shoes it takes to share health, education, opportunity, and the love of Christ to a child in need in the world. You can play a part in changing the life of a child today through Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child in need. That's giveshoestoday.org.
Is your success in life being stolen? Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Unbelief is involved in every single sin. Why did Eve eat the forbidden fruit? Because she believed the devil's lie rather than God's truth. Hey, if you don't believe God, you'll never be a success.
Learn what real success can be like. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart each weeknight at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
If you enjoy this radio program, you're going to love all of the many different resources waiting for you at faithfi.com. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be good and faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at faithfi.com.
Join us for the second annual AFA at the Ark.
Myself and Tony Ventagliano, his family and my family, and several of the other staff members of AFA.
Tickets include transportation from the hotel to the museums, both tours, and special presentations by Answers in Genesis speakers. AFA has reserved a block of rooms at a discounted price with the Marriott Cincinnati Airport Hotel. To register, go to afa.net/events and join us for AFA at the Ark.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones. We've got a lot of questions coming up here. We'll go to St. Louis, Missouri. Hi, Tyler. How can I help?
Hey, Rob. Thank you for your call. I really appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so just real quick, so me and my wife have she actually has a Franklin Templeton Fidelity account with just a little over 100,000 grand in it. And we were trying to decide whether or not we should use that money to buy our first home or to use it as to get an investment property to fix and flip and try to make a profit off of it. Because right now we have a little bit of rent. We currently live with my parents right now, so money's not an issue for us right now. But we're just trying to be faithful with what we got, and just kind of want you to see if you could weigh in on that and see where we should kind of go with that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I assume you don't have any experience in the renovation and flipping. Is that right?
So I'm actually a carpenter full time. So I do have a lot of experience with like construction. And then I work a second job. It's a sales job for a real estate investment company. So that's what I'm planning on getting into eventually. But we have a little bit of money aside that we wanted to use either for first home or an investment property. So we're kind of, you know, in a pickle with making a decision on that.
No, I can certainly understand that. What do you have that you could use toward a down payment?
So in the account we have, roughly under, I think it was like $103,000. We weren't going to use all of that for a down payment. Kind of hoping to maybe go no more than $60,000 for a down payment.
$60,000. All right. So the rest of that would be considered your emergency fund. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. And if you were to buy a fixer-upper, have you started looking around? I mean, do you have a sense of what you'd need to spend to get the kind of place you're looking for to begin doing some work?
Yeah. So my boss who owns the real estate investment company, he can help me find deals off market. So we're trying to hopefully go off market rather than on market to try to save some money there too, with closing costs and everything. But anything within like 50 grand was kind of the idea we were hoping to shoot for the price of a, fixer upper.
Okay, so you're looking to pay cash for something? Did you say 50,000?
Yes, anything under 50 would probably be the ballpark range. That way we could have enough money to be able to use for renovations and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, what's out there, Tyler, for 50,000 or less? I mean, do you have some examples you've looked at?
Yeah, so I live in Franklin County, Missouri. It's about an hour outside of St. Louis, so it's pretty rural. And there's a lot of beat up homes there's a lot of them under 50,000 actually. A lot of two bed, one bath or three bed, one bath. They're kind of older and they probably need a lot of work done, but yeah.
Yeah, and then what would you do? Would you take out a loan, a cash out loan to renovate it, or what are you thinking?
Yeah, so that's what I was thinking, was using the Fidelity account money to buy the house and then using the loan to fix it was kind of the idea.
Okay. And how much time do you have? I mean, basically, you're talking about starting a business here, right?
Yeah, kind of in a way, yeah. I know I work 5/8 right now as a carpenter, and then I pretty much just go straight home and I make cold calls for the investment company and stuff like that until I get trained further into sales.
Okay.
And that usually ends anywhere from like 5 o'clock.
Yeah. And so you've got it a full time. I mean, when you put it both together, are you working 40 hours a week or more?
Probably more. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So more like 50, 60.
Right.
Yeah. I think it just sounds like to me, I mean, even though you've got the skills, and I like real estate a lot, don't get me wrong, and I agree, you're in a unique position right now where you're living with somebody else, and so you're keeping expenses low. How did your wife feel about all this? I mean, what is her, you know, energy level around getting into a place of your own, and or is she just as excited about this opportunity?
She's very excited about it. Either way, whatever I decide, she's kind of cool with. She knows that I've been doing a lot of research and stuff and finding, you know, out a lot about this stuff. The boss that I have for the real estate investment company is flipping a house right now. So he would kind of partner with me on it and show me the ropes a little bit so I wouldn't be going into it alone on the business side of things. Yeah. In the real estate investing, I planned on doing full time eventually when timing's right. So I could always wait to start flipping a house when I do that full time, because then I won't be making hourly wages. I won't have to work 40 hours a week and so on. So that was kind of like a decision if I should just wait to invest in real estate whenever I do that job full time or, you know.
Yeah. And last question, where are you guys living right now?
We are living in Washington, Missouri right now with my parents.
With your parents. Okay. Yeah. So here's my take on it. I think this is going to be great, but not right now. I mean, obviously, it's hard for me to give you I can't give you a definitive decision. You guys are going to have to seek the Lord on this. And I appreciate your seeking counsel. And so my counsel would be, it's just too early. I love the fact that you all have been able to stay lean and mean living with mom and dad. I love the fact you put up $103,000. I love that she's saying, hey, honey, if this is something you want to do, go get them and I'll support you. That's all great. And it sounds like you have a real passion for this. It sounds like you're taking the right steps, working hard, positioning yourself to get into a career that you ultimately want to be in, that you think you have a skill set for, you have some interest in, and you're kind of working your way up. I think this will probably be a big part of your future. It's just probably not today. So if it were me, I would say, let's take that money we've been kind of building up. Let's get into our own place that, you know, we can kind of start a life on our own. Maybe you do some work to build, you know, fix that up, and then you guys sell it and you move to your next place. But I would say, you know, my concern is that you're going to get out of balance here, especially as a young married guy. I mean, you've already got two jobs. You've got a wife at home, and that's great that she's being supportive. But I mean, you need to have time for her and you guys, and there's going to be plenty of time for you to hustle down the road. But it just feels like it's too early, and it's going to take too much time away from your family and your relationship with the Lord and investing in your marriage in these early days. And I feel like you guys getting out on your own is the best next step. And just know that you're not wasting those skills that God's given you. There'll be plenty of time within the right balance and rhythm of work and rest and family and your walk with Jesus to be able to do some of that kind of stuff. I just don't get the sense that it's right now, either financially or time-wise or where you are in your career, or even perhaps more, you know, just as important, the fact that you guys are still living at home with mom and dad. Does that all that make sense though?
Yeah, absolutely. I really appreciate that. I know I've kind of seeked a lot of counsel from different Christian men at my church and everything, and they've all kind of said roughly about the same thing that you said. And, you know, I kind of think that the Lord's been you know, showing me pretty clearly the answer to my question. So I really appreciate you.
Oh, absolutely. Man, I'm thrilled. I think there's no doubt in my mind God's going to do some amazing things with you and your wife. But focus on getting out on your own right now, taking that money that you've worked hard to save up, and you guys find a place that's a starter home that doesn't get you overextended, and see what God has next for you. And I suspect there'll be some real estate investments at some point in the future. Hey, God bless you, Tyler. Thanks for calling today. Back with a few more calls right after this. Stay with us.
What should you look for in a future spouse? On the next Focus on the Family, Pastor Alistair Begg encourages singles to look beyond physical appearance. Good looks can fade, but godly character can last a lifetime. Practical advice with some wry humor as well on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Started playing basketball at 9 years old. I ended up having teammates that were my teammates all the way up through high school. Then the Lord began to challenge me. Abe, you're a Christian, but have you ever shared the gospel with your teammates? I began to realize, no, I hadn't. What I'm saying is that God moved me to be concerned beyond me. It is impossible for you to be truly born again, yet you remain unconcerned about the people around you.
Tune in to the Hamilton Corner, weekdays at 5 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
As a faithful listener of the Faith and Finance program, you know that there is life-changing financial wisdom in God's Word to meet all your needs. More than anything, FaithFi is here to help you and millions of others see God as your ultimate treasure. As a nonprofit, we're grateful for our partners that help expand our outreach every month with their generosity. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? Please consider becoming a monthly partner by visiting faithfi.com and clicking Give.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly three decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Absolutely free. We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Hunter, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. Thank you so much for having me, man.
Yeah, sure.
So 2016, 17, and 18, before I came to Faith in Christ, I had a small woodworking business, and I never did taxes on any of that. I don't know, you know, I know I owe taxes. I just don't know to who, you know, city, county, state, federal, obviously. I've got the numbers on what I grossed every single year. Few questions I've got. What taxes do I owe? Who do I talk to? And then without having any receipts from any of my raw materials, is there any way to write off any of that stuff? Like, is there like a base amount that I could write off for each year? What am I looking at?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think the starting point is just to, complete the state and the federal taxes. So you're there in Tennessee. So I'd get a CPA, and I mean, this is fairly simple to do. And basically they probably won't be able to e-file it, but they'll be able to, you know, fill it out and print it out and file that paper return and give you all the information that you need to file those back taxes. You'll owe some penalties and interest, but you know, if you can't write the check for it, then, you know, they'll get you on a payment plan. And I would find a CPA that kind of specializes in what are called offers and compromises. And, you know, depending on your financial situation currently, you know, you may be able to end up, you know, getting a compromise for less than you owe. If you have the financial means to pay it in full, either right now or over time through a payment plan, then you'll probably end up paying the full amount plus the penalties and interest. But that would be kind of the starting point. And then that CPA can also help you chase down whether there's anything else. But those are the big items. It's just going to be the city and the state. The state and the federal taxes. Do you still operate this business, or have you shut it down?
I shut it down. I looked over everything, and early 2018 was the last time I did anything.
Okay. And do you still have an active corporation in the state of Tennessee?
Yeah. So that's how a lot of this is funny, how the Lord kind of brought it back to my memory is I started getting letters telling me that I still owed money on my small business license. So when I went to close that, they were like, well, you never paid taxes on this. And so that's where I started chasing all this down.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So the CPA can help you with that. If you've got somebody there, that's great. If not, I've got somebody that specializes in this kind of thing with back taxes and offers and compromises, and you're welcome to give your information to our producer here today, and we can get somebody in touch with you. But I think the key is kind of start with the federal and the state, and then that tax professional can help you chase down anything else you owe. And what you'll want to do is, is it an S corp? Is that what you have?
I have no idea what that is.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So you opened a corporation with the state of Tennessee?
Yeah. Hamilton County, Tennessee.
Gotcha. Okay. Yeah. So you'll just, once all those taxes are filed, you'll want to shut that down and, kind of close that down so they don't continue to ping you for fees for the business since you're not operating it anymore. And if you owe anything at that point, then that'll become clear as well. But, I think the federal and state are the starting place. So hang on the line. Our team will get your information if you want us to put you in touch with somebody. But you can get this done. It won't be that painful. And, even if you don't have the funds, you can get on a payment plan to get it taken care of. Thanks for your call, Hunter. We appreciate it. To Columbia, South Carolina. Hi, Susan. How can I help?
Hi. I was wondering how to leave money to a child that's irresponsible. They have mental health issues. I don't know if it's a will, a trust, or there's some other avenue I should search.
Sure. So the way you would typically want to do that is through a special needs trust. And basically, assuming there are, so did you say there are cognitive issues or what is it in particular?
It's mental health dealing with issues there.
Okay. So he may or may not qualify for a special needs trust. But essentially, because those are usually, reserved for folks that have particular health-related issues or disabilities. And so if not, then a trust would be what you're looking for, a revocable trust. So the benefit of the trust is that it could be distributed to the heir at certain ages or even milestones. And so that could be done, for instance, a trust could say when the heir graduates, the beneficiary graduates from college, or, give X amount at 20 and X amount at 25 and X amount at 30. So there are ways to essentially set that up to distribute that over time at certain triggering events. Do you think there's an ability kind of at this point to kind of lean into that and begin to try to help foster some money management skills in the meantime, or kind of what is the current status of that?
Well, okay. They're totally dependent on me right now, but we are working on that.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's slow going.
Yeah, no, I certainly get that. So I think the next step, Susan, is to get with an estate planning attorney. And it sounds like just a revocable trust would be what you'd want. And that way you would have some confidence to know that, okay, if something happened to me and the Lord called me home, that I've got provisions in place. So X amount of dollars doesn't just drop into the child's lap. Whether it's a minor or adult, when they're not ready for it, which could propel them, you know, in the wrong direction, because money provides fuel. And if they're headed, you know, in a wrong direction, either in terms of financial, spiritual, or, you know, otherwise maturity, you know, it could accelerate them away from the Lord and into poor decision making. So that's where the trust would allow you to know that, okay, I've thought through this and it's only going to be distributed over time. It could even, you know, offer a modest income, you know, every month for the rest of, you know, his or her life. So if you don't have an attorney, a certified Kingdom advisor there in Columbia could make a referral to you to a godly estate attorney, and they can help you get all of that in place. We appreciate your call today. Thanks for being on the program. Let's head out to Spokane. Hi, Leo. Go ahead.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, how can I help you?
Yeah, I have a couple questions about my home. If we were to sell it and we've got a large amount of equity built up, but we want to tithe on that. We see as it as an increase, like an investment. But to do that, would we want to, could we subtract improvements we made over time, you know, that increase the value of the home?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So the idea behind the tithe, Leo, is that it's on the increase, which you correctly pointed out. So the question is, what is my increase? And so with an asset, and a home would certainly be, you know, fall into that category, you would take the selling price, because you haven't realized anything while you're still living in it. It's a paper gain, and that can change with time. It can go up or down. But once you sell it, you realize it. And so then you take the selling price, you subtract the original purchase price, and you would subtract, you know, typically not maintenance, but improvements that enhance the value. And you mentioned that as well. You would subtract that as well. And then what you're left with is truly your increase. And so if you wanted to give a tithe off of that increase to the Lord, that would be the amount that you do it on.
Okay. The other question, if we left the home to my daughter, how could we encourage her to tithe on that gift? Or is there a way to do it in the will, perhaps?
No, I think the only way to really do that would be to instill that understanding of giving and generosity into her prior to your passing, and then decide as your last stewardship decision in the wealth transfer process what you wanted to give, you know, to ministry or charity, and what you want to give to your heirs. But with, once you've, you know, passed it to them, they're now the next steward. And, you know, hopefully not only are they chosen, but they're prepared to do that. But ultimately trying to control that, I think, with whatever portion that you give to them after you're gone is difficult and I think ill-advised. What I would do is try to focus on what can we do now to instill these values in her. And perhaps that's, you know, taking a portion of your estate right now and giving it to, let's say, what's called a donor advised fund, where maybe you get her involved in giving it away and allow her to experience the joy of giving and generosity. And then think about, okay, with whatever God has entrusted to us, we don't necessarily automatically have to leave all that to the kids. And so the Lord may lead us to give a portion of it away to God's kingdom, you know, aligned with our passions and what's on the heart of God in Scripture, and then a portion to her. But, I don't think you can force a tithe on the portion that she would receive as an inheritance after your life.
I see. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Okay, Leo. God bless you. Thank you for calling today. You know, as I think about all the questions that came into the broadcast today, I'm just reminded of this responsibility, this opportunity we have to be found faithful as money managers of the King of Kings resources. That's a high calling and something we ought to take seriously. And I know each of you do. And just like me, we're not going to get it right all the time, but we're just going to do our best, seek wise counsel, study the scriptures, and just try to be found faithful and honor the Lord with what he's given us, because, wow, he has given us so much. Before the first dollar, we have an abundance. Folks, grateful to have you along with us today. I'm thankful for my team today, Adam, Devin, and Jim. Couldn't do it without them. Have a great weekend. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.